Paul writing to a baby church. This is a church full of baby Christians. Baby Christians are Christians that's not studying their Bible. They're not growing in the Lord. Amen? And the Bible tells us that we're to feed on the Word of God. We're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. You do that by being in church at the appointed time, and you be in your Bible every day studying. Need to be in Bible studies. 1 Corinthians, a great book in the Bible. I love to read the book of Corinthians. Today I'm going to be talking about the wisdom of God. The first chapter of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 17. Listen to what the apostle said to these believers at this church, a local church like ours. It was in a pagan city, a lot of sin. Hey, a lot of sin in Robinson County, aren't they? For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Are y'all listening to what he said? The foolishness of preaching. What I'm doing today is foolish in the eyes of the world. But it's the way you get to hear how to be saved and go to heaven. Y'all hear me? That's what God says. I'm just reading. Verse 20. For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jew and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Now that's a great passage of scripture on concerning the wisdom of God versus the wisdom of the world. There's a lot of smart people in this world, folks, let's be honest. They got a lot of worldly wisdom. But no matter how smart you are, how much an intellectual you are, you won't know God that way. You can't know God that way. Do you ever think about the wisdom of God? How smart God is? How wise God is? Let's pray. Ask God to help us to understand His wisdom, His way. Loving God, we bow before you this morning in the name of Jesus, needing you, Lord. helpless without you, Lord. Depending on you, Lord. We just recognize you are God and there is none other. We recognize we're sinful creatures who need cleansing, who need forgiveness, who needs the grace of God. And we thank you for Christ who came and paid our sin debt. Thank you that by faith we are justified, made as if we've never sinned. What a plan of salvation, that by believing in Christ, we are made right with God for eternity. Give an eternal life. Lord, today I'm so little. Lord, I'm nothing. Help me stand before your people today and present your word in a way they can understand. And that would encourage and challenge. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you ever think about the wisdom of God? How much knowledge God has? And how God has taken all his knowledge and caused everything to work like it works in this world? How he made this world, the stars and all the planets. The Bible says God just spoke and they came into existence. Now what does smart man say? They evolved. Isn't that right, folks? That's what smart men say. But my God said he spoke and they came into existence. He made them out of nothing. But wise men say they evolved. How he made the various creatures. How God made all the various creatures. Boy, there's some weird looking creatures in this world, aren't they? There's creatures that's made, that God made, that man's never seen, I'm sure. And when you study creatures sometime on the Nature Channel and see the ways creature, all the creatures, they act different. They survive different. And the wisdom of God came up with all that, folks. That wasn't an evolutionary process that caused that to happen. How God made water. That water you drank today, it's the same water God made when he made it to begin with. It just keeps recirculating. I don't know of anything else God made other than dirt that's still here except water. Think about how wise God is. Taking this water, let it come down on us. It goes back into the ground. It goes down into streams, goes back to the ocean. Clouds come up, draws it up out of the ocean. It's salty. And it comes down, it's fresh. The wisdom of God. His handiworks everywhere around us being displayed, showing his goodness and his mercy to us. People used to think the earth was flat. They say if you get on that ship and go out there, wreck, you'll fall off. That's wisdom of man. But some brave soul decided, I'm going to see if I fall off. And he got in a boat and he went out there and he didn't fall off. Amen? Some people think that humans rose from a lower form of life over millions or billions of years ago. Some people really believe that. They die believing that. That man's just evolved. Some think that this life is all there is for a person. There's plenty of people thinking, well, when I die, that's it. Plenty of people. The biggest religion in the world now, they say, the fastest growing, is atheism. There's no God. What a surprise when they die. Some people think there are aliens somewhere out in space. You know, they got communications out there going all the time, trying to pick up communications. I want to tell you, there is communication. There is somebody out yonder, amen? But they don't want to hear from this one. Amen? They want to hear from a green man, amen? I'm afraid there's no green men out there. There's a holy God out there with his angels. And I tell you what, if you had eyes, if you had real good eyesight, you could see the angels standing around this place this morning. Some people say Mother Nature did this or Mother Nature done that. Folks, I'm here to tell you today, there is no such thing as Mother Nature. That's just a human expression to fail to recognize it's God Almighty that does everything. The wisdom of God far exceeds that of man. God is the maker and the creator of all. And God says in Exodus, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. God is the self-existing one. He exists. He's always existed. There's never been a time God was not. He will always exist. And now because you have life from him, you're going to always exist somewhere forever. You cannot get rid of yourself. Amen. You can blow your brains out. Well, maybe you didn't have much if you're going to blow them out, amen. But you're going to exist. Isaiah said in 43:22, look unto me and be saved, God says. All the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. There is a God. And there's only one God, by the way. Devil wants to be God, but he's not God by a long shot. There is only one God, one true God. He's the eternal God. He's the one that made you. He made you in his very image. Think about what a person you are, made in the image of God. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth some amazing truths about the wisdom of God. Look at verse 17 of 1 Corinthians. For Christ sent me not to baptize. To be baptized is important. We're told to be baptized. But baptism doesn't add a thing to salvation. It don't help you get saved or stay saved. Baptism only wets you. But it's a testimony that you believe in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what baptism is about. So Paul said, Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. What is the gospel? It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the only means of a person ever getting saved, folks. That's what we're doing here today, preaching the gospel so people can hear, be saved. And so you can know, you can tell somebody else how to be saved. That there's nothing required to believe the gospel. That the gospel is simply about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with the words of wisdom, or wisdom of words. The Lord don't want us to speak in such a manner that you don't understand what we're saying. That's one of the reasons I always like to hear Billy Graham. He made the gospel presentation so simple. Even intelligent people need to hear it simply. Lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. The first thing the Apostle Paul says, he wasn't sent to baptize, but to preach. And once you have been saved, once you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you should be baptized and join a Baptist church. Amen? An independent Bible Baptist. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Oh, think about the people today that they don't think they need to be in church today. You know what they say? Well, I'm as good as that person. That's what they say. They say, well, I see them Christians at Walmart's every Sunday. I see them Christians at Pier 41 every Sunday. I'm as good as they are. I see them down at the beach half naked every Sunday. And them's Christians. That's the way the world judges. That's the reason us Christians have to be careful what we do and where we go, so that we won't offend people and keep people from being saved. In case you don't know it, Christians, you and I are going to be judged about our conduct since the day we profess Christ. What are you doing? And what are you thinking? How are you influencing other people? You better walk careful before the Lord. He's keeping a record of every thought and even of every intention. There's no way to get around it. He's writing it all down. Paul preached the message of the cross. It's the most wonderful message there is. It's the only message that'll save you. It's the only message that'll get you to heaven. It's the only message that'll give you peace in your heart and joy in your soul. It's the only message that'll satisfy you. Amen. There's not enough money in this world that you could get to give me, to give up what I've already got. Jesus said, you've gained the whole world and lose your soul. What a pitiful, pitiful thing. To have lived in this world for 70 or 80, 90 years and die and go to hell and leave all you had here behind, it ain't worth it. It's not worth it. Your soul is precious. Your soul is so important. The Son of God died to save you. The message has two results for all humanity. And we'll end up with one of these two. The message, the gospel message, sounds foolish. Who wants a crucified king, some people reason. Jesus, well, he was crucified. I don't want someone like that. Hey, yes, he was crucified. He led himself to be crucified. This was the will of God for him to be crucified. He was crucified so that he could pay for all my sins on the cross. But he said, after 3 days, I'm going to get up out of that grave. And guess what? On Easter morning, of his own volition, he got up out of that tomb and went out, and the rock was still in place. And after that, an angel rolled it away so they could see he was gone. Amen. Amen. For those who are being saved, the gospel message is the power of God. Only God can save a sinner. And he did it through his own son. What a message, this message of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the wisdom of man doesn't want it. That's the reason you got to get under the sound of the gospel. If you don't get under the sound of the gospel and stay under the sound of the gospel, you're going to feel far from God and you're not going to ever know God. That's the strange thing about the gospel. You've got to hear about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. It's the only message that'll save your soul. Going to church is not going to save it. Having religion is not going to save you. The Savior is a person, Jesus Christ. Only with such power can the gospel message redeem sinful people and transform them into the people of God. It's the gospel that Paul preached that makes sinners saints. Did you know if you're saved today, you're a saint? You're a saint of the Lord. In the Catholic Church, you got to perform a miracle to get to be a saint, if I understand it. But if you're a child of God, you're already a saint. And you become a son of God or a daughter of God once you accept Christ. Boy, think about what you get when you get saved. You become somebody. You also become a priest. Hallelujah. You're members of God's family. The gospel message sounds foolish, but it's not foolish. It's what I need. It's what you need. And only the gospel can make us acceptable to God. Only with the power, with such power can the gospel message redeem sinful people, transform them into God's people. And in verse 19 of 1 Corinthians, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to naught the understanding of the prudent. Think about the people that's intellectually smart. And they go to their grave with their intellectual smarts. And they're separated from God forever. They weren't too smart, were they? And many of them have heard about the gospel, but they just didn't accept it. For some reason, they wouldn't believe in it. They were too occupied with their intellect. They were kind of like Solomon, who was experimented with everything because he was so worldly wise. But one day he got smart and came to realize all his vanity. All you can learn and become in this world is vanity if you miss out on salvation. All of its vanity, emptiness. How many people go to their grave dissatisfied with life? They leave with an emptiness in their soul. It's sad. God's way of thinking is not like the world's way of thinking. Some of us were praying that God would keep the House of Republican this past voting time back in November the 8th. A lot of people were praying that God would keep it Republican. And I kind of felt like he would. Because most people that are Christians are on the Republican side, it seems, in this country. But you know what? God let it go to the Democrats. You don't understand the wisdom of God. For some reason, God wanted it to go to the Democrats who want God out of their platform. They attempted to vote him out in 2012. They believe in killing all the unborn babies. They're the ones that put all the liquor laws in and the gambling laws in and marriage to between gays. They're behind all of that. And yet God allowed them to go back in power starting in January. Why? I don't know why, but God has a reason. That's the reason every day I'm looking for the Lord. I'm looking for the Lord. Because this country that was based on the Word of God, all of our laws were influenced by this book. They're being ignored now. We have voted in the Democrats, Muslims now. And they're going to take their office oath, refusing to put their hand on this book. They believe in awful, awful laws. And a party would vote them kind of people into power to be over the American people? The devil's having his sway right now, folks. We're going to have some hard days coming ahead, folks. Are y'all listening? You better fasten your seatbelts in the Word of God. There's going to come some rough days ahead. This holy God hates sin, folks. Human wisdom and brilliant ideas refer to a world-centered wisdom and intelligence. These are not wrong in and of themselves, but they're worthless as a means of salvation. People can spend a lifetime accumulating human wisdom and yet never learn how to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people spend their entire life going to school, learning. What did Paul say in 1 Timothy? Or was it 2 Timothy maybe in chapter 3? Ever learning and yet never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Our universities, our colleges are full of people trying to get a better life, to be educated. But folks, this is the most educating book you can get. This is the Word of God. You can't get too much of this. You can't spend too much time at the church house. You can't spend too much time reading and praying, seeking the face of God. They're our life, folks. That's what we all need. Ever learning and not able to come to a knowledge of the truth, 2 Timothy 3 and 7. Everyone must come to the crucified, risen Christ to receive eternal life and the joy of a personal relationship with the Savior. Do you have a personal relationship with the Savior? Is he personal? I can stand here today and tell you, Jesus Christ will be personal with you. He'll be a living reality. He'll be someone you'll enjoy. And that you love to serve. He's the one this tree stands for. He came into this world just for me and for you. Because we were headed to an awful eternity. And he came to rescue us. He came to save us, the scripture says. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world, this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? So no matter how much education you get, how smart you might be, you won't know God that way. You got to come and bow at the cross. And acknowledge, I'm that sinner, Lord, you died for. You must come and say, Lord, I believe you died for me. And I'm asking you to forgive me. Be my Savior. I don't want to go to hell. But you will if you don't. Because God is holy. And he can't accept the unholy. And only the blood of Christ makes us holy. We need to think about it, church. In 1 Corinthians 22 and 23, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks or Gentiles seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, Paul said. Paul said Christ had to be crucified. If Christ had not have died, we wouldn't have salvation. The sin debt wouldn't have been paid. That's the reason that Jesus in the garden said, Lord, if there's any other way, but there was no other way for me to be saved. There was no other way for us to be forgiven of our sin. The sin, God, who is holy, required sin be dealt with. And God chose to let his son deal with it. One time forever satisfied God. God does not require to be paid again. That's the reason I'm saved, because Christ paid it. When you buy something, you get a receipt. It's paid for. You ain't got to pay for it again. Christ has satisfied God's demand for my sin. Amen? The word stumbling block means anything that gives offense or that causes one to fall into sin. The Jews would not accept Jesus Christ as their Messiah. You know why? He didn't come and deliver them from Roman rule. But he didn't come to deliver them from Roman rule. He came to pay for their sin. Amen? He's going to deliver them from the rule of men one day, but it wasn't time. In fact, it'll be at the end of the 7-year tribulation time when the Lord will finally deliver that Jewish people that's so stubborn and so rebellious. At the end of the 7 years, Jesus is coming, and we who are saved are going to be coming with him. And he's going to take over the kingdoms of this world, defeat all the enemies of Israel, and set up a thousand-year rule there in Jerusalem. And there, for 1,000 years, he's going to rule and reign. No more war. Satan going to be bound and in the bottomless pit. What 1,000 years of prosperity and peace. And even after that, Satan's going to be loose and people's going to start following the devil again, if you can believe that. That's how wicked the human heart is. That's the reason you got to have a new heart. That's the reason you got to be born again, church. We got to have life from Christ. And we get that by humbling ourselves. Admitting I'm a sinner. Do you ever look at your inside, at your own heart? Do you ever want to kick yourself in the rear? Selfishness, greed, cried. Lust, prejudiced. Yeah, I know they go through you because you're human. That's why you need a Savior. And He paid for all that. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
He paid for all that. He's given us a new heart with peace, with joy, with life. He's given us a perfect salvation. And when we shed this old shell we're living in, we won't have those old natures bugging us anymore. Praise God. But the unsaved person will still have them forever, forever, forever in a place they can't get out of. To the Greeks, the Gentiles, they look upon the gospel as foolish. I don't need that. That one who and was and is God should be crucified. They can't believe that. That riches should come through His poverty, and men be brought to a kingdom and glory through one who was crucified with criminals. That there should be life for men in His death and salvation through His crucifixion and shameful death. But that's the way God's wisdom operates. Through Christ is coming to be poor. I am rich. I am rich. You are rich. You may not have much in this world, but you're a rich person. You have eternal riches. Praise God that money can't buy. 1 Corinthians 1:24. But unto them which are called both Jew and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world. Most people that's being saved and has always been saved has been the poor people, the unlearned people, who were wise enough to believe the gospel. Sounds like a contradiction, don't it? Think about it. Most preachers that God has called in the past has been, well, in our country, used to be farm boys or mill boys. Even Amos in the Old Testament, he was known as the country preacher. Amen. And the people that Jesus called to be His disciples, they were fishermen. You get around fishermen, they stink. Amen. Really? I mean, they're in the fishing business and they're smelly all over, you know. But them fishes is good when they fried, ain't they? Amen. Especially them spots and croakers. But Jesus called those kind of people. He called people that was more or less looked down upon by the world of wise, learned people. He even called a man that was a tax collector. Despised, Brother Chavis. I know Brother Chavis don't like that tax man, amen. But the Lord called one of them. And so most people that's going to be in heaven is going to be the lowly, the poor, the outcast. Well, look in Luke chapter 16. Who was it went to heaven? Lazarus that was begging? And what happened to the rich man that had everything? He was wanting a drop of water. What's the problem? The rich man could have went to heaven too. But he didn't feel a need for God, did he? Do you feel a need for God, my folks today? Do you feel a need for God? Do you feel little in this world? Do you feel this world is against you? Oh, listen, folks. Folks. By using these, Paul is pointing out that intellectual, political, and social positions are not qualifications for being chosen by God. Who is God choosing? God's choosing them that'll accept His Son. Are you wise enough to accept God's Son as your Savior? That's the only people God is choosing. Spurgeon said, I don't know who all is going to go to heaven. I don't know when I stand and preach, Spurgeon said, who's going to accept this gospel? He said, I don't pull up their shirts and see if they got a yellow streak down their back. He said, I'm called to preach the gospel to everybody. And whoever will believe will be saved. I can't make nobody be saved. Oh, if I could, I'd shake them good, amen? I'd shake them good. In fact, just the opposite was true. God called the lowly. Why would God not choose leaders and influential people who could make sweeping reforms that would be followed by the masses? Only God's ways are the right way, folks. His ways are the right ways. God does not choose as people chooses. God's looking at the hearts of people. It's always puzzled me, of all the Jews, has God loved those people so much, down through every generation? God just loves those Jews, and they're so stubborn. They just refuse. And God just keeps loving them. And they keep refusing. Look how long-suffering God is. Look at the patience of God waiting on those Jews. And it's finally going to come down at the end of the tribulation when 2/3 of all Jews are finally killed. And only 1/3 of the Jews are going to get to be saved. And the whole nation is going to be saved at one time when they're saved. And God loved them so much. God loves everybody so much. He wants everybody to be saved. In closing, Ephesians 2:9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't do anything to go to heaven, folks. God's wisdom is this. You got to hear the gospel. You got to hear about what Jesus did for you. Jesus came as a man just like me and you, only he didn't have a sin nature. He lived among men about 33 and a half years. He went about doing good, performing miracles. He went about never sinned at all. He went to a cross volunteering to go because of the love of God and for the love loving us. And he wanted to please his God, his Father. He went and laid his life down. He said, no man took my life from me. I'm laying it down on myself. So it's not of works that we go to heaven. It's by believing in Jesus Christ. Faith. Putting your faith in Jesus. Taking your place. Paying your debt. Ephesians 1:4 says, according as he's chosen us in him before the foundations of the world. God knew before he made the world what your decision would be. That's how wise God is. That's how knowledgeable God is. God knew before he made the world where you'd be at this morning. He knew you'd be sitting at a little old Baptist church. That we should be holy, you're supposed to live holy. You know what that means? That means you're supposed to live by this book. You're supposed to live by this book, church. You're not supposed to live by the dictates of your flesh. What I want, I want, I want. It's not to be our rule. What does God want? What does God want? How are you going to influence somebody for the Lord living by what I want? Let me ask you something. Are you saved? Are you really, have you really believed the gospel that Jesus Christ died for you? Have you accepted that fact that you needed him to die for you, to pay for your sin? Do you believe that? You better make sure. It'll be too late if you die without being right. No matter how good you live, that's not going to get you there. It's what have you done with Jesus? Have you let him change your life? Think about it. Think about it before it's too late. You got to make sure. Lord, speak to hearts today. Challenge hearts today. Lord, only the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, Paul said in Romans, to them that believe. So deal with each heart. Challenge each heart. And may we depart to love you and serve you, be a witness of your grace wherever we go. I pray in the Savior's blessed name. Amen and amen. This morning, we invite you to our altar today. Come and talk to the Lord. Maybe you've got some need you need to talk to him about. Maybe you've got a friend that needs to be saved. You need to come talk to the Lord about. Remember our salvation box. Maybe we need to make commitments to the Lord. Hey, examine our own hearts. How is it with me and the Lord today?